Serbia held a presidential election today, but for a third time, less than half the eligible voters turned out, and so the vote is not valid. The Balkan Republic has been without an elected head of state for nearly a year since the term of the previous president, Milan Milutinovic, expired. He later surrendered to the War Crimes Tribunal in The Hague. For an overview of the state of democracy in Serbia and its neighbors, we turn to Miša Glenny, a journalist who's written a history of the Balkans. I ask Glenny if Serbia really is a democracy now, 3 years after the dictator Slobodan Milosevic was ousted.
I think Serbia is a democracy. It's already had one round of elections for both the parliament and the president since Milosevic left. It's been a very tough 3 years economically, and of course, with a weak state like Serbia, organized crime is always a difficulty. So are the remnants of the war criminals. And earlier this year in March, a terrible tragedy struck when Zoran Djindjic, a good reforming prime minister, was assassinated, and that certainly was a real blow to Serbia's democracy, but it hasn't destroyed it.
Now, the difficulty with presidential elections so far is that voters are not showing up, and the new constitution requires a 50% turnout in order for an election to be valid. The election today is a third try. What's that about?
It is. This is a problem. What it's essentially about is that the crisis throughout the former Yugoslavia began now 14 years ago in 1989, and ordinary folk have seen their lives being ripped apart one way or another. And although there is in none of the Balkan states any desire to see the restoration of authoritarian or non-democratic forms of government, there is a deep, deep weariness about the whole process. And frankly, people are just tired, and they're doubtful as to whether it changes a great deal.
Has the economy improved at all since the fall of Milosevic? Serbia was not only very poor, but it was very corrupt, a criminal country.
Yes. In some respects it still is a criminal country, but then all of the Balkan states are to one degree or another. In the past 3 years, nonetheless, Djindjic, while he was prime minister, brought in some very bright young people from the Serbian diaspora, from the Serbs overseas, and they have done very well on the macroeconomics. They've got the currency under control, which had been going haywire, and they've addressed the issue of Serbia's debt, and they've got lots of good marks from the international community for those macroeconomic efforts.
Then there's Kosovo. So far, it's still a province in southern Serbia. Its status remains unresolved 4 years after NATO went to war over it. Most Kosovar Albanians still want independence, but Kosovo is a part of Serbia. Has this put the development of state institutions on hold, not sort of yet knowing what the shape of the country really is?
The unresolved issue of Kosovo makes progress very difficult. Certainly in terms of moving closer to the European Union, it's more or less impossible when you have this central area whose constitutional status is unresolved, where people are very insecure about investing anything because they don't know who's going to own the land tomorrow, as it were. But as you point out, Linda, the bottom line is that the Kosovo Albanians want independence. Public discourse, the Serbian leadership is clear that it does not want independence.
Miša Glenny, I wonder if from your experience in observing the Balkans all these years, if there are lessons to be learned from that area about nation building in Iraq.
There certainly are, and this is the issue of how you assist countries after an intervention. We haven't done very well in the 8 years in Bosnia-Herzegovina or the 4 years in Kosovo. It would be very important, I think, that some of the people who are working on reconstruction and reviving the economy in Iraq look at the lessons of failure of economic reconstruction in southeastern Europe, because the issue of unemployment is absolutely critical to stability, and that's what I think should be focused on in Iraq. Fortunately, there are some people who've worked very effectively in the Balkans who are now also working in the NGO and the civilian sector in Iraq, and I hope that they will be able to bring that experience to bear there.
Misha Glenny is a writer and broadcaster on the Balkans. Misha, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.